Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. Welcome, everybody. NFL draft wrapped up on Saturday with rounds 4 through 7. And what a busy day it was, man. I mean, Friday, we had a couple more guys go off the board from the Pac-12. But did you see that the Pac-12 conference set a record in its final season?
Going out with a bang, baby.
43 selections in the NFL draft.
Is that good?
That would be only be second to the SEC, which had 59.
Which means more.
Yep. But the Pac-12 gets four more guys drafted than the previous record of 39, which was 2015, I believe it was. And so we saw that the level of play across the board in the conference, it was up on the up and up, man. Every single week you were sitting there going, there are dudes across the Pac-12. And we saw that came to fruition. 10 members of Washington's roster from a year ago, they go off the board. 8 Oregon Ducks, which is a school record, go off the board. USC had 7. I think those are the top three out west in the Pac-12.
Brendan Rice falling horribly down the board. He was the 8th-rated wide receiver, I want to say, on most boards. 8th or 9th, somewhere right in there.
It was surprising to see, you know, Troy Franklin was second pick of the third day of the draft, fourth-round pick. Like, it happened to a lot of guys.
Yeah, that was a little bit surprising to see a couple of those wide receivers be available on day three.
Yeah. That was a huge surprise. And, you know, whether it's a weird thing with the draft evaluation process because it could be you're just a bad interview, right? We see that all the time. Like, you could be a hell of a football player, but something doesn't go right in your interview process, and then all of a sudden you get red flagged and you start dropping down draft boards across. But
we've also seen guys skyrocket up the list on good interviews and Wonderlic tests.
There's a quote floating around right now about, like, somebody did a deep dive into, you know, Atlanta and their vetting process and scouting process of Michael Penix and what the Broncos did with Bo Nix. And, like, there's a story about Sean Payton asked Bo Nix what was in his backpack. And he had tape for his ankles and an extra pair of cleats and a lacrosse ball that he rolls his back out on. And everything in that bag was football related. And it said more to Sean Payton about what wasn't in the bag, because nothing non-football related was in that bag.
I love the stuff that
stories
people tell themselves.
So weird.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, okay, that's what did it, huh? All right.
Let me paint
football junkie. Guess what? You could ask literally anybody within an earshot of the Oregon football program, hey, is Bo Nix a football junkie? And everybody been like, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude loves football so much he babysits his coach's kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, all right. The guy is football through and through.
Just want to be around coach.
But if you don't love football as much as the people evaluating you, you can slide down draft boards a little bit. Another odd note from the NFL draft is, did you see what percentage of draftees came from the SEC or Big Ten for the schools that will be in the SEC or Big Ten
next year? What did it end up being? I knew we were going in after day one. It was at 75 or 80%. What did it end up being?
So there are 257 total selections in the draft.
Uh-huh.
140 of them were from the Big Ten and SEC, teams that will play in the Big Ten and SEC next year. So that includes, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. 140 of 257. That's,
man,
so over 60, half.
62%?
55%. 55% of draftees were from two conferences in college football. And look, like, I mean, this is, think of the guys that get drafted from the group of five, from the FCS. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a staggering
number. ACC.
The other Power Five conferences. Yeah, in 140 of 257. Power vacuum of those two conferences is massive. Is absolutely massive. But I think the other big note that is coming out of the NFL draft is how many teams seemingly got it right, filling needs. And outside of Atlanta and Buffalo, you didn't have any of those, head-scratching moments throughout the NFL draft where you reached on a guy. Or I would say there's actually one other one. I'm going to amend that. There is one other selection that I went, we went there, huh?
Mm.
Do you see the final pick of the third round? The Washington Commanders, with the 100th selection, took Luke McCaffrey out of Rice.
Yeah, he had like a fourth or a fifth round grade on him.
He was like the lesser of the McCaffrey brothers.
He's the runt.
And, oh, by the way, Brendan Rice, who you just mentioned, was still on the board.
And
Troy Franklin, who had a first round grade on him, was still on the board and was taken two picks later. You had Javon Baker, who the Central Florida receiver, he was still on the board with a higher grade. Tez Walker, the North Carolina receiver, was still on the board. And they took Luke McCaffrey. I hope he does well. I hope he does great. But that was in Jacob Cowing. You see, he went last pick of the fourth round to the 49ers. Good little fit there.
Good spot for him.
But a lot of really damn good receivers were still on the board, and they're like, yeah, we're going to take the wide receiver out of Rice.
Yeah.
There.
The runt of the litter.
That was a little bit confusing.
But otherwise, the crazy thing for me coming out of this draft, with the exception of the Penix pick, the teams did well. And you can see it from the grades, from all of the analysts. All of the analysts are like, you know, with the exception of the Penix pick, teams did well. Up and down the board.
Yeah.
Up and down the board, everyone did well. And obviously, we'll revisit this in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. But it felt like nobody was reaching. You know, there'll be a gem that pops up. How did everybody pass on this guy? That's not what it's about. It's about the evaluation process and how everyone feels about the evaluation process.
What I think kind of goes in lockstep with that is the way that the draft started. Until the Penix pick at eight, it was, we didn't have any movement ahead. It wasn't like there was a reach, because usually what happens, it's, you know, a team trades up into the top 10 and the Trey Lance to San Francisco, right? And you have a guy that everybody's going, I don't know if you give up that kind of capital.
Three first round picks.
To go and get somebody. But then when you have a team that trades up and actually does something well, it creates a sense of urgency. And we saw after eight with the Penix pick, there was a panic of, okay, we don't know how many quarterbacks are going to be going, because the fourth guy went off the board at eight. We weren't expecting it to go at eight. That's when you see the Vikings trade up to 10 to get J.J. McCarthy. That's where you see the Denver Broncos throw out the, hey, we're going to maybe trade down and still hold on to Bo Nix because there were teams immediately following them that needed quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So they took Bo Nix at 12 and they sat there and they said, everybody's like, hey, Denver still needs a quarterback. That's not an egregious reach.
No,
it's pretty high for a guy, but considering
what had just happened, yes,
he's the sixth quarterback off the board. You're going, yeah, we get it. When you need a quarterback, and five have already been taken in front of him.
Yeah, no, that's the interesting thing about all this is kind of which of those works, if any of them, all of them, none of them, kind of situation where it's like, okay, who ends up being the guy? And we keep hearing that the Patriots, their offers to move up to 3, and they were dead set on. Nope.
Boy, Daniel Jeremiah has been on this one and saying that some of the offers that the Patriots got at 3, he said they are staggering. The Giants and the Rams apparently both gave staggering offers to move up to 3, and the Patriots were like, no. So he's just like, that pick was never for sale.
Yeah.
I mean, if Drake May apparently went 2nd to Washington, maybe then it's up for sale. But they were like, nope, we're going to stay. And that's something when you hear a draft analyst who's not even willing. He's like, I don't even want to say what the packages are, but they were the very, very, very significant.
Generous packages.
He gave 3 varies on how significant they were.
I wonder how close it came to the Panthers offer for last year.
At that point, you go, yes. But is anybody going to be as bad? Like, the one thing that the Bears knocked out of the park was the fact that,
good God,
they were looking at the ineptitude of the Carolina Panthers and going, yeah, we can capitalize.
The clip of Ryan Poles being asked by media members, so what did you think about that Atlanta pick? He's trying to hold back laughter.
Yeah, he was like, we're happy it went the way it did. Because they get Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze.
Which, by God, can you think of a better quarterback wide receiver pairing in a draft?
I haven't really thought of it, but that's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good.
You have the unanimous number one quarterback in the draft, and you have a guy that you can say is the number one wide receiver in the draft.
Even though he was the 3rd one off the board. It's a,
like, that's nutty, man.
And you add him to not having all the pressure to be a number one right away.
He's your 3rd wide receiver.
Because you have DJ Moore. Well, he's not going to be number 3 for long.
No.
You have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Cole Kmet. Yeah. Like they knocked it out of the park. But then you look at even guys as you go down the board, and I think this is something that we talked about throughout the draft process leading up to last Thursday, was those teams in the middle and back end of the 1st round are going to get so much better because of the fact that it was such a deep draft and there was going to be that run of offensive players. So you had these teams go and they get the best defensive players in the draft starting at 15. Starting at 15th overall is when the first one comes off the board. And Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, he said, we got the best effing pass rusher in the draft at 15. Mm-hmm. He's like, we knocked it out of the park. Yeah. Colts had an amazing draft, too.
They did.
They got A.D. Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And let's get to the fun with audio draft version.
We have so many of them.
Because Chris Ballard was on fire when he took the podium. And then we also have a couple of receivers. The diva receiver may be out. The comic relief receiver may be in.
I'm down for it.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
All right, the NFL draft is great because not just you're watching whether it's your team in the NFL get its future, whether it's the college that you root for finding their guys drafted. We do now have the Denver Ducks with Alex Forsythe, Bo Nix, and Troy Franklin all on one team. They're turning into like Georgia is to Philadelphia and the Eagles, even though the Eagles took no Georgia players this year. A little bit of a surprise there. A little bit of an upset. They only got like the two best corners in the draft. No big deal there.
Jeez.
No big deal there. But it's great to see the reactions of some of the players who get drafted. And then to see them introduced in a new place, right? We talked with Troy Rank last Friday, and he said, in my 20-plus years covering the Broncos, Bo Nix had the best press conference I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, you see how polished these guys have become.
And Bo is polished. He's Damian Lillard-esque on the podium from day one.
Well, you also get some guys that may not be as polished, but they're awesome to hear from.
I love it.
And probably my favorite receiver now in the NFL has got to be Keon Coleman of the Buffalo Bills.
Just fantastic stuff.
He came from Florida State, but previously was at Michigan State before that. And his presser was an all-timer, man, because he got to everything but football, including a little bit of his golf game.
Hmm. I could golf a little bit now. Like I said, I'm Tiger Wish he could. I wish I could golf for real, but I could drive pretty good. Putting in, it's all right. Barely some. That's why I'm good at top golf. I get the ball back down to the net, over the net. But if we're on a real course, once I get to the greens, I might lose. Yeah, I'm knowing every quarterback and special teams got to be good at golf.
That's true.
I'm looking forward. We're going to see what's up. You know.
That is true.
Tiger wish he could is – that is – that is incredible. I am 100% keeping that.
Tiger wish he could. But it's true. Quarterbacks in special teams, like kickers, are infamous during training camp because you only need them for like one practice, right?
Yeah, and they bounce out.
They'll bring their golf clubs to like training table,
mm-hmm.
and then just give like the wave goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, just give a little, hey.
Hey,
yeah,
I came in for treatment. See you later, bye.
Yeah, we had a kicker who had morning practice would do the anybody want to come over for margaritas in between practice? It's like, dude, no, we all have to be back here in like 3 hours. You can just go and get hammered drunk.
Yeah, stretch your hammies on the golf course.
Go do that, pally. Mm-hmm. Keon Coleman, though, he won me over with this one because this is a man who is not going to go broke
no.
when he is getting done in his playing days. He is a thrifty feller.
Huh? Nah, man, you forgot I went to school in Michigan for 2 years? You, guess where I got this from, though. That's what I'm saying. You got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess.
Tom Izzo.
Nah.
Tom Izzo.
Macy's. What you mean? they be on sale on the rack. All the colors. Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little. I'll take you there personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one. See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I get you. See, I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You gotta shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and it be cheaper. Cause you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Who we starting with? Oh, we could go. Oh, my bad. Hold up, y'all can hear me? This on or this off? All right, bro. I'm just making sure I'm hoping he ain't trying to set me up. Who we got going first?
He didn't even know his press conference had started. Buddy, that press conference started the minute you sat down uh-huh. there, and he's like, oh, wait, is this on?
Yeah.
This microphone, we're
good.
We're hot. We're live. Rolling. Okay, here all we right. go. Every mic's a hot one, Keon. Yeah.
You'll learn that one.
I'm picking up what Keon Coleman's putting down. He's like, you got to shop 2 seasons ahead.
That is,
and he's right.
Yeah, he is. But
get
also, that's a guy whose mom's going to get him a smart financial advisor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's gonna be all right.
He's not getting wrapped up in the pyramid schemes.
Another receiver had a great one. We, about what, 2 months ago, I introduced us to Xavier Legette,
if you were watching the NFL draft.
Yep, the receiver out of South Carolina, because I had never heard him speak before, and I was taken back. And when we talked about it, I said we both said he's got such a draw. It kind of sounds like Boomhauer. Buddy, when he was introduced to the Carolina Panthers media, he actually did sound like
Boomhauer.
Xavier, you woke up a Carolina Panther. Did you have to pinch yourself?
Say it one more time.
So you woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up right here, man. I got a call right after I got drafted. He was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told him I'm going to be ready.
I don't know. There's a good 5 seconds there. I don't know what he said.
I told him I'm going to be ready.
Yes.
Yeah. 9:30
in the morning. Gonna
the
be
letter
ready.
D does not exist. I told him I'd be ready.
I love
ready.
He's like a butterfly flapping his wings deep down in the forest, man. They're going to cause a tree fall like 5,000 miles away, man. Ain't nobody see it. Nobody don't even happen.
Same person.
Yeah.
Which is why the first time I heard him,
bang, man, it's a boom, man, it's a bang, man.
I thought Texas.
But a boom hour, man.
Like I had Texas through and through for him.
Yeah. No. That boy just ain't right.
No.
But turns out he's from South Carolina.
Damn it, Bobby. So good.
The trick to that accent is just to not finish whatever consonant is at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Right.
We heard from Malik Nabers, too, newest New York Giant wide receiver, who may not be as high on Daniel Jones.
Mm.
Daniel Jones as the rest of us are.
Talked with Daniel Jones yet?
Yeah, I actually did talk to Daniel Jones. He was just like, you know, I'm happy that you're here. You know, we're going to hit the ground running, you know, and then learn. He's going to learn about me. I'm going to learn about him, and we're going to get together.
I know it's very early, but what do you make of him as a quarterback?
You know, I'll wait till I get here to see, you know, all that. I'm just happy to be here. Great organization, you know, here. So I'm just happy to be here.
He's got no opinion on Daniel Jones, his new quarterback. When I first heard that, I was like, did he just... He said Daniel Jones? Mm-hmm. I bet he has a friend named Daniel Jones at home, and he's like, he's never going to get Daniel Jones's name right.
Not only that, I also found it funny because very clearly the Giants were trying to move for a quarterback, because I bet you Malik knew that the Giants were probably trying to move him and get a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he was second fiddle, and he probably knows that the organization doesn't believe in the quarterback going forward. So he's not real excited to get to know Daniel Jones or Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, man. He probably is excited for Daniel Jones. You know,
Daniel Jones sounds like the kind of guy I like to party with.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you
kind of like Jesus in a t-shirt tuxedo.
It's like, Daniel Dunes, because he's Dunes being the quarterback
of
the New York Giants. Mm,
got him.
Love it. Love it.
Well, for our worst day on the web, we're going to switch it up to a best day on the web. Best worst day? Worst best day?
Well, there's a whole lot of bad in it.
It is, but it's coming from a lot of good. We'll get to that here coming up next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna, the Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Roma Dunze started making appearances in Chicago, including our sister station in Chicago, 670 The Score, where he was introduced to the lineage of successful Bears wide receivers. I have a dear friend who is a Bears diehard fan, and we have this discussion every year because as a Raiders fan, the Raiders and Broncos have the least storied quarterback history. And then he goes, yeah, even if it's close, nobody pales in comparison to us when it comes to wide receivers.
It's really bad.
It is atrocious. It is unspeakable. So bad that you just have to hear it in Roma Dunze's voice.
Do you know who holds the Bears franchise record for receiving yards?
Ooh. Brandon Marshall?
It's a good guess.
It's a great guess. It is actually someone named Johnny Morris.
It's an old record, man. It goes back a long way.
Johnny Morris.
How many does he got?
He's got 5,059 yards.
That's it.
In a career?
In the career, man. He played in the 50s and 60s.
Welcome,
Rome.
To our world, Rome. Welcome.
In a career?
Johnny Morris played from 1958 to 1967 with the Chicago Bears. He had 356 yards averaging receptions for 5,059 yards, averaging 41.8 yards per game. That is the record. I went and I looked up a handful of teams. And that record, by the way, Walter Payton is fourth all-time in receiving yards. The running back from 1975 to 87 with 4,538 yards. He is top five in the Bears all-time receiving list.
He's also number one in receptions.
Johnny Morris, if you're wondering where 5,059 yards get you on the all-time receiving list, he is not even in the top 250 in NFL history. Okay? The Kansas City Chiefs, Johnny Morris would not even be in the top 10 of receivers all-time in Kansas City Chiefs
Good
history.
God!
He would not be top 10 in the Arizona Cardinals all-time receiving history.
That's actually, this Cardinals one's not surprising.
He would be 11th all-time for the Denver Broncos. He would be 10th for the San Francisco 49ers, 10th for the Los Angeles Chargers, and 10th for the Minnesota Vikings. So three franchises in the NFL, he wouldn't even be in the top 10, and three more, he would barely scratch the top 10, and that is number one in Chicago Bears history, and he played 10 seasons in Chicago.
He would be fifth. This is where it always gets dicey with the Raiders. He would be fifth.
Yeah.
If not for Ted Brown and Fred Blitnikoff, the Raiders kind of have the same.
Tim Brown?
Sorry.
You said Ted Brown. Ted Brown.
Tim Brown.
Yeah, Ted and Fred.
Fred, yeah. Tim Brown
Tim
and Fred.
And Fred.
Yeah.
You went Ted.
That Ted Brown, he was pretty good, too.
Ted Brown was pretty good, too.
Yeah. But Tim Brown and Fred Blitnikoff, if not for them, and Cliff Branch.
But here's where it gets even more staggering.
It's so bad with Bears.
Johnny Morris is number one by 400 yards.
Yeah.
The next closest is also a guy that did not play pre-NFL-AFL merger. It's Harlan Hill. People still name Harlan, and he is number two at 4,616 yards, played from 1954 to 1961.
What's insane is in their top 10 all time, one, two, three, four, four players are listed as wide receiver.
Yeah.
Because the others are flankers, left ends, tight ends, and running backs.
And Ditka's in there. Mike Ditka.
As a tight end.
But this is like where you look at also in Chicago, they haven't had a quarterback either. I mean, they had Jay Cutler for a few years. You had Kyle Orton for a few years. Jim McMahon for a few years. You got to go back. It's like Sid Luckman. Like, they finally have a quarterback who can throw the football in Caleb Williams, and now you have a plethora of targets.
I bet you Roma Dunze is going to skyrocket up that list.
It's I think we also go to sometimes the numbers of the all-time greats, they do kind of cloud, you know, because
successful
that
careers.
Being fifth for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. The Raiders had a high-flying offense in the 2000s, in the 90s, early 2000s, in the 90s.
Really?
Even in the 70s, they threw the football a lot. The Chargers have had a high-flying offense since Air Coryell, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it, I mean, Mike Williams still doesn't have 5,000 yards. Mike Williams played, you know, a large chunk. You have to have longevity in these records too, because guys also bounce around. Like he said, Brandon Marshall is a really good guess. Brandon Marshall only played three seasons with the Bears, and he is just outside
the
top 10. Yeah. So you have to be a 1,000-yard receiver for 5 years or play 10 years at 500 yards a pop, have a couple 1,000-yard seasons in there. Mm-hmm. You know, injury history plays a big role in it, but for having 5,000 yards to be your franchise record is absolutely unheard of. It's not even in the top 250 of all-time wide receiver rankings.
Yeah, just kind of going through, I mean, there's just, you go through each and every team, I don't think there's anyone even close. Chad Johnson's still the Bengals' all-time leader at 10,000. Ozzie Newsome is the leader for the Browns at 7,980. Like, I don't think there's going to be anyone even close to that.
No.
For a franchise leader, 7,980 is still the lowest as I scroll through.
It's still low. For a career? For a career?
7,935, Ernest Givens for the Titans. I mean, that's it.
It is
the lowest career receiving yardage by 2,500 yards.
Yikes.
That's right. Nuts,
I'm
going to
go here, and I'm just going to go with wide receivers who have played for the Bears, because they have two running backs in their top 10, Walter Payton and Matt Forte.
Yeah.
They are in their top 10. So if you go, since they started calling them wide receivers, Alshon Jeffrey is third with 4,500 yards, okay? Curtis Conway played from 93 to 99. He's at 4,400 yards. You've got Marty Booker at 3,895. And then Willie Gault, who played 83 to 87 at 3,600 yards. That is where their top 10 ends with guys who played actual wide receiver. Not even half of their top 10. And that's the Chicago Bears, everybody. It's a new era. You've got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze now. It's a whole new world. They're not even going to know what to do with this.
Roma Dunze is going to shatter those records.
If he sticks around.
And why wouldn't he with a quarterback right now?
Well, because right now, and sometimes, money.
But I'm saying
money.
Would it surprise you at all if Caleb is as good as advertised and Roma Dunze plays through his rookie contract that he breaks that record?
Yeah, it would be, because that's 1,000 yards a season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that would be a surprise.
Which, if you're a top end wide receiver, even as a rookie, what is usually your production?
Well, he's not number one though. I mean, you still have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Cole Kmet. Like, and I think it is really hard to get 1,000 yards receiving. I mean, even in more passing offenses across the NFL, I mean, they have actual targets now. they're going to be throwing the ball more and more effectively than they have before. But a 1,000-yard receiver, especially in when you're first getting in, I mean, him breaking the record in his rookie deal, I would be a little bit surprised at that. I would be surprised at that. But it's not out of the question. If he has like a 1,300-yard season, one of those, and then that can make up for it.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Because you look at the last couple of years, 2020, Justin Jefferson, 1,400. 2021, 1,455 for Ja'Marr Chase. Last year with Puka Nacua, 1,486. I mean, it's been Michael Thomas, 1,100 yards. Garrett Wilson, 1,100 yards. Like, you look at the rookie
but
wide
again,
receivers.
All of those guys are being fed the ball.
Sure. That's fair.
More so.
I look at this and go,
than others.
I feel like Rome Odunze is probably going to get fed the ball because Keenan Allen's going to miss half the season.
Yeah, there you go. That could be it.
I love Keenan Allen, but his hamstrings
are
made of clay.
Yeah, there were 28 receivers last year in the NFL that had 1,000 yards. And guys like Travis Kelce was not one of them. You know, Drake London, not one of them. Deebo Samuel, not one of them. Sam Laporta, Zay Flowers. Those guys that we think of as really good receivers.
They all came real close, though, didn't they?
Yeah, but they still, like, 1,000 yards a year, it's a tough thing to do. And if you can get 1,300 yards in a year, hell yeah.
That's the thing. Is
it boosts it.
If he doesn't make 1,000 in his rookie year, I think he ends up being that number one guy pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to let's look. Like, A.J. Brown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown, in his career, has 5,947 yards.
How many years has he played?
Five. He just finished his fifth year
in the
NFL.
Go. There's literally the example right there.
Yeah. Yep. And he's had...
thinking who he had throwing him the ball.
1,500 the last two seasons in Philly.
So he made up some ground.
Yeah.
By having a competent offense.
Yeah, but Shane Waldron is the offensive coordinator in Chicago.
God dang it. I love... that'd be a fun prop bet.
Yeah, it would be.
It's a fun prop bet because, like...
Oh, yeah, it would be.
5,000, it's definitely not a oh, yeah, no, he'll get there.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd be shocked if he did.
No, I wouldn't be shocked either. You know? I just think it's a tough... It's a lot of yards.
It's a lot of yards. No, you're right. The history of how the offensive have kind of exploded certainly skew how things are going.
DJ Moore had 1,300 last year as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 2, 4, 6. In six seasons, DJ Moore, 6,500 yards.
Yeah, see, there you go. Very doable.
You can do it.
All right, coming up next, we have to. It's home run sausage time.
So good.
Danny and Dusty, Danny and the Fan.
Bruce Hornsby!
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Minnesota sports teams are all in the news. For good things. The Minnesota Timberwolves sweep the Phoenix Suns, and the Minnesota Twins, they have a home run sausage.
They do. We have the Homer Hose in Baltimore, and now we have...
We no longer have the golden thong of Jason Giambi.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a thing. John J. Fisher's like, you know what? We're going to keep that around, too. We're too cheap. Still the same
Leave
one
it here.
2004. We're going to keep it. We're going to keep it.
Good God.
In Oakland. We got it back in a trade with the Yankees when he tried to take it over there.
He had to leave the thong behind.
And no, it hasn't been laundered.
Good God.
Because we lost the washing machine in a different trade.
In a different trade. We had to include it. But Rocco Baldelli, the manager of the Minnesota Twins, he just had to illuminate why
he
there was...
He brings up a great point, is what he does.
Yes, of why the home run sausage exists and what could go wrong.
It's a summer tangy sausage, is what it is. I actually looked at the package yesterday. It's bringing us a lot of hits and runs and stuff, so I'm all for it. I mean... for anyone that hasn't been following, it's a substantial packaged, sausage that Jeffers has been carrying around in his bag and throwing at people when we score runs and hit homers. So I'm all for it. I'm slightly concerned as like, I'm not even an adult, but slightly concerned as like more of an adult than maybe some of the people in the other room, that the package is going to open up and the thing hasn't been refrigerated in many days. And there's no doubt that when that thing opens up, whoever's touching it is in deep trouble. Like that thing is there's no doubt in my mind that we are carrying around something that is very, very unhealthy to the human
body. He's treating this thing like Fallout, you know, rancid meat at this point in time. Well, another one, it's a sausage. Those things, they stay good forever.
But dug out in, if you get, you imagine, you're taking this thing to Texas, Florida, Atlanta.
Exposing your meat to the heat.
You are just, oh boy, we stepped on that one. But this thing has been in a backpack, and then they just toss it out there anytime someone hits a home run. And it is huge.
Well, they say they've dressed this thing, dressed their meat up.
Well, in the way that they got it, Ryan Jeffers, who he mentions there, like Jeffers has been carrying this thing around in a backpack. He's their catcher.
Further evidence, catchers are weird.
Had a fine meat endorsement. And they sent him a care package of sausages, and somebody goes, what is that thing? Because it is enormous. And so he's like, home run sausage now. So if you hit a home run as you cross home plate, this gigantic
meat,
a spice, or what do you call it, a tangy summer sausage, yes, comes flying at you, and guys look scared.
Sweet hot meat hits you in the face.
And baseball guys just cannot be taken anywhere. And I love it.
Just like Danny.
Cannot take you anywhere. And more power to the Minnesota Twins. I like the I've been picking up what the Twins have been putting
I want to know what they're dressing it up as.
When I saw the clips that I saw,
are you putting like googly eyes?
I have not. Maybe there is.
Like the mustache glasses? The Bobby Valentine's on it?
That's like the only way that you can go with this. Maybe
you can dress it up differently.
Some paper doll outfits that you throw on it, but more power to baseball. Baseball, as Marco Baldelli said, and he's right, or Rocco Baldelli, he's like, I'm not an adult either.
You can definitely
slide. This is the manager of the Minnesota Twins. No. Baseball players are the most immature of of the sports.
Which is why I'm like, they could slide something over that meat to make it weird.
It makes it that much better that that is how they operate.
How many drops are you trying to go for in this segment?
It's at least three.
Yep.
Look, man, we got t-shirts to make, all right? No? Nothing? All right. I love baseball, and I love the weirdness of baseball.
I do, too.
I mean, you're on the road for 81 bleeping games.
It's a long...
You gotta have your fun.
3.5-hour games. Yeah. Like, you have to find a way to break up the
monotony. There is no amount of hot feet that could ever stop that from happening.
And this is, like, look, you got the Homer hose and the Homer sausage now.
I do love a good dugout prank.
And then you
hot foot with when they actually like they do it right, like they build up the gum.
Yeah.
On the bottom of the cleat first. Get a big old pack of gum, chew it up real nice. Then you see if you can sneak the gum onto the bottom of their cleat. Then you stick the little something in there to light up real nice. Get them to dance.
What are you talking about?
You light the back of the cleat on fire. Hot foot. Have you never seen a hot foot?
No.
Oh. I just thought usually they did it with like a little firecracker or something.
Nah, you do it with a little bit of gum too. As you do it old school.
Yeah, setting people on fire. Totally normal.
Yes.
I'm surprised Danny's not carrying around little bits of C4 with him for the hot foot.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. We are not trying to maim. Come on now.
Just burn a little bit.
Just you know, just like the size
burn
of a pea.
A little bit. How do you catch a guy's foot on fire? Like, what, do you just light until the leather sparks up?
Yeah.
Are you using something as like
you put something inside the, like you use the gum to stick it to the bottom of their cleat or to the side of their shoe, and then you light it. That way they can knock it off, so it doesn't actually catch them on fire.
So like I said, like a firecracker.
Yeah, like a
sparkler.
I've never heard of the
You've never heard of the hot foot? Oh, I'll post some videos.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, the hot foot's a great one. Stacking hats.
Yeah, just bored.
Stacking hats and bubble gum on top of the hat. Yeah. The shaving cream to the face after a walk off. It's all great stuff. Baseball, they do have too much time on their hands. This is, I've never heard of the hot foot, but I do believe absolutely 100% that this is a thing that happened.
Yeah, the Dodgers, they pulled one off where they took like a book of matches and taped it together. And then sparked it up on the back of his heel, but it stuck to him with gum. But it was there for like the entire time he was warming up. But yeah, no, the hot foot's a great one.
That is great. So, that is fantastic.
Well, I'll play a couple videos during the break. But meanwhile, we will shift gears and go to college football, where you were down in Eugene for the Oregon spring game. What can we expect to come out of the Ducks, or what did we notice, or what did you notice coming out of the Oregon spring game? Come up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Whoever's touching it is in deep trouble.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.